Turn to your neighbor and say, we can do this. We can do this. I don't really want to preach a sermon now. We already had the sermon right here. The kids gave it to us this morning. We've been spending this time going through. I just love this text. I hope that, you know, we are tying a Christmas ribbon on it this morning and closing our preaching time in it for now. I hope that you will continue to go back to this text over and over again. I hope that all of us will commit to praying this prayer on a regular basis. This sermon is a sermon that's also a prayer. It's a call to action here. And you know, whenever Jesus finishes the sermon here, and he gives that great illustration, doesn't he? He doesn't say, I'm so glad you all came up here on the mountain to hear a great sermon, even though they did do that. He doesn't say, what did you think of my illustrations? Did they connect with you? How was my tone? How was my pitch? He doesn't say any of those kind of things. He doesn't call them to be great listeners at the end of the sermon. He calls them to action. And the thing that was that signature moment at the close of his sermon, you know, this is a group that had heard many sermons before, just like many of us who are here this morning, right? We hear, those of us who've been around church our whole lives, we've heard countless sermons, haven't we? But the thing that stood out about Jesus preaching that day as they were gathered there on the mountain with Jesus was that this man was not just a preacher of encouraging and thoughtful words. This man was a doer, a liver, a man who he was actually, when they listened to him, they said, this guy's different because what we see is we see what this actually looks like lived out in a person's life. And that's much more powerful than any message. That's much more powerful than any sermon. You know, God did not call His kingdom to be a bunch of preachers. He didn't ask everybody to get up on Sunday and preach a sermon. But He did. And Jesus is inviting everyone here to take His words and do them. And live them. You know, sometimes we hear these words of Jesus and we think to ourselves, this is not very realistic. This is not very, this is very hard. Cliff just shared for us earlier in our communion thought. In John 6, you have a group of people who'd been following Jesus for a while. They hear this sermon from Jesus. And John tells us that many, after hearing that part of his teaching, decided that this just wasn't for them. They didn't buy in. And they left. When the sermon ends here on the mountain, you know, they've got to go back down to their lives, don't they? They'll have their exchanges, they'll say their goodbyes, and then they'll make their way back down the mountain, back into their regular lives. And their lives will determine what they do with Jesus' message of God's kingdom. I want to show you a slide here of my niece, Mariah. My family is from near Houston, and we had cold weather this week, but they had what? They had snow, didn't they? They had snow. My niece Mariah is 11 years old, and there's only been a few times that we ever have snow like that down near the coast and in South Texas. and this was really the first time in her lifetime where the snow came and it stuck. And I kid you not, this was her statement about this. My bucket list is now complete. She had experienced her first real snowfall. She had made her first snowman. She had made her first snow angel. She had had her first snowball fight. Done, all right? Don't you wish that you could have such an approach to life? You have these goals, you have these dreams, you have these aspirations, but so many times we don't actually go out and chase those dreams, even as a Christian. Jesus isn't calling you to some ideal that He doesn't want you to live. He's calling you into a life here. That's why that illustration of the two builders. It's not that one builder was a stronger or more effort-driven or more moral-driven builder than the other. Jesus doesn't say that in His sermon, does He? We looked at that text just a moment ago. He just says one was wise and one was foolish, and what determined that was simply the foundation that they chose. That's it. That's the only difference. And Jesus says the foundation had to do with whether or not they actually chose My way. My way of life. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14 that His way... go ahead and go to 13 and 14. He says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. How many of you have read this text before, and whenever you read it, you go, see, Jesus is saying the Christian life is too hard, right? In fact, some of our English translations put that word in there. It's the hard road, but that's not what it says. People have put that into the text. Jesus didn't say, my way is the harder way here. He does say that His way is the one that is less traveled. And that can create some challenges, no doubt. Or think about what He says in a few verses later whenever He says, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of My Father. Jesus is saying very plainly, isn't He? There's two ways that He sets before us. And the way that Jesus offers in His Sermon on the Kingdom is simply this. Don't you want to choose the way that leads to life? How many of us would like to see the world that Jesus is preaching about here in the Sermon on the Mount? How many of you would like to see a world where people pray for and love their enemies? How many of you would like to see a world where people, whenever there's differences or division, where people are able to make peace and reconcile? How many of you would like to be able to see a world where people turn away from hatred and choose to love? How many of you would like to see a world where people don't put themselves first, but seek to put others first? How many of you would like to see a world that doesn't choose to judge and condemn and critique and criticize others, put others down, but instead chooses to forgive? To be able to actualize this kingdom that Jesus preaches about is exactly what He's called you to do, Christian. This is practical life. This is about how do I lead as a husband or a wife. This is about how to be a young person in a very challenging world that doesn't encourage positive choices. This is practical teaching on those who are dealing with bad choices in their life or addictions in their life, and they're needing to make change, and they're wondering if there is any other way but self-destruction. Yes, it's true, and Jesus said it a long time ago, Many choose the other ways. But when Jesus comes and shares with us about the kingdom, and not only just preaches it at us, but invites it into us, He's telling you, we can do this. And we can do it together. I love the invitation that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 11 in verses 28 through 30 here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Pay attention to this next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. Listen to how Jesus describes if you partner with Him. His description is, listen, you better tighten up your belt. You better be the most perfect that you can be. You've got to have a flawless approach. It's not what He says here. He says, if you will connect with me, if you will be yoked with me, I promise you will find life to be less of a burden. And this is Jesus does this. First He says to us, come. And then at the end of Matthew, He says this, Matthew 28, go, right? You're burdened, you're tired of the self-destructive ways of choosing everything else when we try to do it our own way, when we try to please ourselves, when we try to spend our time pleasing others rather than seeking to do the will of God, when we're consumed with things that are going on and materials in this life and seeing how many possessions and wealth and all those other things that we get so caught up into. When we're tired of it, Jesus says, come, if you're weary, if you're burdened. And then when you receive that call, He says, guess what? Everyone else in this world needs what you've got in me. Everyone else needs this kingdom life. And so once you come to Jesus, He then returns it back. He says, I'm so glad you've chosen to be yoked with me. We can do this together. And now I need you to go in my name and make disciples of all the nations. We focus on that identity, and it's very important, isn't it? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't always tag real well the following statement. We have to help one another learn what it means to do what Jesus says. Teach them, He says. Teach them how to be able to live the Jesus life. I'm so excited this morning as we have some folks that I want to recognize that have heard Jesus' invitation to come and responded to His call as well, to go on behalf of the nations. I want to ask Cassie White if she'll stand up. Cassie White's back here with us. Cassie has been serving. She's been away from us for almost a year from responding to God's call. Can we honor Cassie right now? I hope that you will take some time this morning and hug her and thank her. And ask her how she's doing. We are so proud of you, Cassie. And we are so thankful that you responded to God's call in sending you to go. Thank you. Thank you. We have a couple that we want to honor this morning that are responding to this call as well. And I want to play a video right now to be able to let you know a little bit more about them.
When we think about missions at Hillcrest, we think about decades of dedication to places such as Zimbabwe and Zambia and Germany and South Africa. Recently, this includes Austria and assistance to refugees, and also campaigns in East Africa. Several individuals at Hillcrest volunteer every week with World Bible School, and a number of our congregation have participated in Send the Light campaigns. Now, the Lord has given us an opportunity to send a couple to the Philippines.
My name is Caleb Caleri, and I'm going to Cebu City, Philippines.
My name is Vanessa Caleri, and I'm going to Cebu City, Philippines.
Cebu City is a very urban city. It's got about 1 million people in it, so it's pretty big, but it's with an area the size of Abilene, so it's very compressed, very close together. The Philippines is a place that is just as much in need of Jesus as anywhere else on earth. It's a fantastic place where the people love Jesus, but don't necessarily know who he is or have a relationship with him. And so for us, Vanessa and I were offered an opportunity to work with a nonprofit organization and to work with these two private schools to establish a curriculum for a Bible class and chapel. Our ultimate goal is to use the school as our way to enter into the community, as the gateway to evangelism and outreach to the local community at large. And it's with those families that we're going to be interacting and having studies with, and where we're really going to see the church start to grow and flourish. Well, we met here in Abilene. Both of us have a passion for ministry. I attended Harding University. I graduated with my degree in missions, and long-term missions has been on my heart since I was a teenager. And meeting Vanessa, I realized that God had brought me to someone who also had that same passion for missions.
Mm-hmm. And being a missionary kid, I would say that that's something that's part of my DNA. But whether or not I was going to end up with someone who would do missions, I really just wanted to be with someone who had a heart for the Lord and wanted to share that same message of hope with other people, whether that was here in the U.S. or overseas. So I definitely think God has great things planned for us. I've grown to appreciate the level of involvement that Hillcrest has with their missionaries. I think that's extremely important. I love that there are campaign groups that go every summer, short-term mission trips, and even people who visit during the year. I think that's extremely important, and it not only shows that you care about missions, but it cares about the people that you are sending. Mm-hmm. So we are extremely privileged and happy that we have Hillcrest working with us.
We're going to take just a few minutes here. I've asked Caleb and Vanessa to come up here, and we want to talk to them for just a moment, and then we're going to have a special prayer blessing. This is for y'all. I don't know why I'm holding this. tell us a little bit about what this journey has been like for y'all, of God leading y'all to Cebu City.
And hey, hello. Hi. I'd hate to start at the beginning, but it really is something that started when we were very young, with my upbringing as a missionary kid in the Philippines. And with Caleb's formative years, his mom and dad teaching him about the Lord when he was very young, that's really where it all began. And so I say that to mention that where we are today is in part because of the people who influenced us as we were growing up, our families, our church families, relatives. So that's really where the journey all began. And then I would say that God just encouraged us as we began exploring who we were as people, what gifts he'd given us, and just how he kind of opened doors and led us to be here. This church has played a part in that. The only reason why a guy from Buffalo, New York, comes to Abilene, Texas, was actually because of Hillcrest. And that's really how we met, through a mutual friend. And so it's really amazing to be sitting here in front of you right now and to be sharing what we're going to be doing. So there have been people along the way that God has put that have led us to where we're at, and kind of affirm that desire to go and share the hope that we have.
Yeah, and I want to tack on to that too. You know, growing up in the church and listening to sermons, but reading through Scripture ourselves, we also saw and
felt the call of God to not just come to him, but also to go out to other people and to be obedient to what he has called us to. And the journey that he's led us on has been affirmed through the different mission works that we've been a part of for Vanessa since she was a little girl living in Cebu City and helping her parents. And for me, most especially through working in Mumena and partnering with Hillcrest in that way too, was just all affirmation that God has a call for our lives and he wants us to be obedient to him and also to go and make disciples as well.
That's a powerful thing to think about. These are homegrown, homegrown Cassie as well. When we want to share with people about what Hillcrest is about, I'm going to be pointing them to the Kalaris and to Cassie and others who are people who are hearing that call from Jesus to go wherever that might be. What are y'all most excited about? What's the dream for this mission?
The dream is a lot bigger than the two of us, and it's a lot bigger than anything we can accomplish on our own. And when we dream big and we shoot for something that we can't attain, so that forces us, God, we've got to have you in the middle of all this. And the hope and the prayer and the dream for Cebu City and for the Philippines is for us to be making disciples and planting the church, and then the church over there and those disciples as well also obeying the call of Jesus and making more disciples. And for the work to spread beyond what Vanessa and I are working or doing, and to get so out of control that the only thing we can do is give glory to God and praise the Holy Spirit for the work that he's doing as well.
That's great. I want to encourage our young people and any of our people who haven't had a chance to get to know Caleb and Vanessa or to learn about what Cassie's done to do that. One of the things that excites me so much about preaching at Hillcrest or even having the little ones come up is I wonder, what is God going to be doing with their life? I imagine that your parents are just kind of just in wonder, maybe still even a little bit in shock, but that God is in this. And like you said, when you dream big like this, how God provides and God comes into that. What are some ways that we can support you guys?
Definitely through prayer. We need prayer before we go and while we're there, and even beyond. I would say beyond just kind of praying in general. Please protect Vanessa and Caleb. Pray for the people that we're working with. We've been praying for them ever since we started pursuing this opportunity, and we're praying very specifically for people who are open and ready to hear the message of Christ, and it's those people that are going to carry that message to the rest of their people. We're there to be able to reproduce ourselves, and that's every missionary's goal. And so we certainly welcome you to be praying for us, but please pray for the people that we'll be working with.
And asking for prayer sounds like just the normal answer that anyone should give, and it is the answer that everyone should give when you're talking about missions and what it means to be a disciple of Christ, but prayer is not something that can be underestimated. When you look in Scripture and you look at what was going on before Pentecost, the apostles and the disciples were constantly in prayer. They were continually in prayer, it says in Acts chapter 1. And the work of God and the movement of the Holy Spirit is always preceded by prayer. And so by you praying for us, that's part of how, a major part of how you are directly working in the Philippines as well, just by staying back here and being in prayer over that work.
We're going to invite the elders to come up at this time, and also the mission committee and any other supporters that we have that are here this morning who are a part of this effort with the Kalaris, or if you'd just like to come up here as we pray, and Neil Coates is going to lead a prayer over Caleb and Vanessa. As folks are making their way up here, I also want to mention that we have information. If you're wanting to get on a list, we have information over in our information desk to my left in that in the corner on the wall over there if you'd like to find more ways to partner with Caleb and Vanessa.
Father, today we are reminded of what we read in your word, that places like Antioch would send out missionaries. Father, today we are mindful of other places in this world that we have been blessed to be involved in missions. And today we think about a new place, almost on the other side of the world, in the country of the Philippines. Today, Lord, we pray for Caleb and Vanessa Caleri, and we thank you for their commitment to missions. We thank you for your selection of them. Father, we pray for them and they're looking forward to moving to Cebu City, a place that is different than Abilene, but a place that they have dreamed of really for years and that they have prepared for through the time that they were being raised in their families, through the apprenticeships and mission trips that they have made, through the studying of your word, by the fundraising and the survey trips that they have done as they prepare. And Father, today we also thank you for the commitment of their parents that we on the missions team have seen for months, if not longer. And we've seen how they were committed to raising children who care about the kingdom. And we know, Lord, that their parents and their friends will be involved in the future, not just through prayer, but through trips and encouragement and in messages. We thank you, Lord, for their families. And Lord, today we pray as a congregation for our commitment to support Caleb and Vanessa financially, with notes and letters and other communications, to work with other persons and other congregations who are also partnering with them, to see them, to visit them, Lord, to encourage them to be involved in spiritual retreats, to continue to work with them as they work even beyond Cebu City and telling others about you. And finally, Lord, again, we do commit to prayer. Father, this January 8th, the day that they leave, we pray that you bless that day as a very special day for Caleb and Vanessa. And Father, for us here in Abilene, we pray that you continue to bless our efforts to call others to you, to connect to the lost, and to send missionaries and to welcome home missionaries. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It may not be that Jesus is calling you to the Philippines or to travel across the globe, but it may be that Jesus is calling you to action this morning. He might be calling you to go to your knees in prayer. He might be calling you to go home and talk to your wife and talk to your children about changes that you need to make in your own life, or about goals that you have and dreams that you have for your family that God's put in your life, just to be a godly family. Or you may be dealing with addictions. You may be dealing with struggles and burdens that you come and you listen to sermons and you come to worship and you come to Bible studies and you go right back away feeling just as burdened as you were before. I hope you will hear Jesus' call in your life today to come to Him and make a change.
that it's your turn. He turns the sermon. That's how he ends the Sermon on the Mount. He turns it back at his audience and says, you can do this if you want to choose this. So we invite you right now, if you need to make a decision in your life for Jesus Christ, to believe on Him, to be baptized in His name, to become a Christian today, if you need to make a decision towards faithfulness, if you need to repent, if you need to talk to someone about struggles in your life, we have our shepherds that will be up here right now. Let's stand together and let's sing.